The three siblings looked at one another in shock and horror, and then at the wall where the speaker was hanging. The voice coming over the intercom was not Babs's. It was a faint voice, and it was a scratchy voice, but it was not the voice of the head of human resources at Heimlich Hospital. It was a voice that the Baudelaires heard wherever they went, no matter where they lived or who tried to protect them, and even though the children had heard this voice so many times before, they had never got used to its sneering tone, as if the person talking were telling a joke with a horrible and violent punchline.
"Attention!"
the voice said again, but the orphans did not have to be told to pay attention to the terrible voice of Count Olaf.
"Babs has resigned from the Heimlich Hospital," said the voice,
and the siblings felt as if they could see the cruel smile Olaf always had on his face when he was telling lies.
"She decided to pursue a career as a stunt woman, and has begun throwing herself off buildings immediately. My name is Mattathias, and I am the new head of human resources. I will be conducting a complete inspection of every single employee here at Heimlich Hospital, beginning immediately. That is all. An inspection,"
Hal repeated, finishing his plum.
"What nonsense. They should finish the other half of this hospital instead of wasting time inspecting everything."
"What happens during an inspection?" Violet asked.
"Oh, they just come and look you over,"
Hal said carelessly, and began walking back to the Library of Records.
"We'd better get back to work. There is a lot more information to file."
"We'll be along in a moment," Klaus promised. "I'm not quite done with my fruit."
"Well, hurry up,"
Al said, and left the anteroom. The Baudelaires looked at one another in worry and dismay.
"He's found us again,"
Violet said, talking quietly so Hal could not hear them. She could barely hear her own voice over the sound of her heart, pounding with fear.
"He must know we're here," Klaus agreed. "That's why he's doing the inspection, so he can find us and snatch us away."
"Tell,"
Sunny said.
"Who can we tell?" Klaus asked. "Everyone thinks Count Olaf is dead. They won't believe three children if we say that he's disguised himself as Mattathias, the new head of human resources. Particularly three children who are on the front page of the Daily Punctilio," Violet added, "wanted for murder. Our only chance is to get that file on the Snicket fires and see if it has any evidence that will bring Olaf to justice."
"But files aren't allowed out of the Library of Records," Klaus said. "Then we'll have to read them right here," Violet said.
"That's easier said than done," Klaus pointed out. "We don't even know what letter to look under, and Hal will be right in the room with us all day long."
"Night,"
Sunny said.
"You're right, Sunny," Violet said. "Hal is here all day long, but he goes home at night. When it gets dark, we'll sneak back over here from the half-finished wing. It's the only way we'll be able to find the file."
"You're forgetting something," Klaus said.
"The Library of Records will be locked up tight. Hal locks all of the file cabinets, remember?"
"I hadn't thought of that," Violet admitted. "I can invent one lockpick, but I'm not sure I'll have time to invent enough lockpicks to work on all those file cabinets."
"Yashu,"
Sunny said, which meant something like, "And it takes me several hours to open one cabinet with my teeth."
"Without the keys, we'll never get the file," Klaus said. "And without the file, we'll never defeat Count Olaf. What can we do?"
The children sighed and thought as hard as they could, staring in front of them as they did so. And as soon as they stared in front of them, they saw something that gave them an idea. The thing they saw was small and round, and had colourful and shiny skin, and the youngsters could see that it was a persimmon. But the Baudelaires knew that if someone's eyesight wasn't what it used to be, it might look like a plum. The Baudelaire orphans sat and stared at the persimmon, and began to think how they might fool someone into thinking one thing was really another.